Hi, family. I'm McCool. I'm a grateful recovering addict. I have a loud voice. I'm a little southern girl, so forgive me. I am not yelling nor preaching. It's just that's how I talk sometimes. I hate hearing my voice on the tape because I be like, golly, I sound southern. Hi, family. I'm McCool. I'm a grateful recovering addict, and I want to definitely thank this loving God for giving me an opportunity on life, my sponsor for breathing a breath of life in me, and Narcotics Anonymous for keeping me connected to this life, and for that I'm truly grateful. This workshop, first of all, I want to thank Decatur Area Coming Out of Darkness into the Light 25. You know, you guys still holding strong, and that's a beautiful thing, you know. And since I've been here, I have been truly grateful and blessed for the atmosphere that I've experienced. Initially, I'm going to kind of slow out this because we may have some newcomers in here. And I just want to, you know, keep it simple. We ain't got to overanalyze nothing today, right? In our symbol, it says simplicity. That's the first word, okay? Simplicity is the key to our symbol, right? It imitates the simplicity of our fellowship, right? And it said all sorts of occult and esoteric connotations can be found in its simple outlines. But foremost in the minds of the fellowship are easily understood meanings and relationships. The outer circle denotes a universal and total program that has room within it for all manifestations of the recovering person. Anybody want to know why they say person instead of addict? Thank you, I'm glad you asked. The reason they say person instead of addict is because all of us don't believe we're addicts. Some of us believe that we're just here temporary. Some of us, you know, the literature tell us that we were mandated here. Some of us were mandated here. Some of us just needed to give ourselves a break. Some of us are here because of our parents. Some of us are here because of our friends. Some of us are here just to get our children back. And some of us, like me, no, I'm a full-fledged certified addict. I will use any mood, mind-altering drug if it makes me feel good, if it makes me move good, if it makes me smile a little bit, let me walk on pillows a little bit. I will use it, right? And the beautiful part about this, because I got an hour, so y'all don't mind me slow walking this? Okay, we're going to keep it simple today? All right, thank you. It says, the outer circle denotes a universal and total program that has room within it for all manifestations of the recovering person. The square whose outlines are defined is easily seen and understood, but there are other unseen parts of the symbol. The square base denotes goodwill, the ground of both the fellowship and the members of our society. Doing the right thing for the right reason. Goodwill. See, I have a minor in accounting. Well, I'll be graduating in May, so, you know, technically I've graduated because you know how I am as an addict. I've always went ahead, right? So, I have a minor, was my major, but then it got a little difficult, so I made it a minor in accounting. And we have something called assets and liabilities. And do y'all know that goodwill is an asset, right? They call it intellectual property. And the reason goodwill is an asset because, see, what it is in the corporate world, they talk about the camaraderie of their business, the camaraderie of their employees, the corporate culture. Right? They have a corporate culture where they have an atmosphere. You know, you have several major businesses, several insurance companies that we know of, you know, got the commercials and the little red and whites and all of that, you know, because it's a corporate culture, right? That's the goodwill. And they consider it an asset. And listen, they don't consider the asset of goodwill as a percentage or a small percentage. They consider goodwill a large percentage of their assets because they understand without their employees, they will have no company. Now let's flip that to Narcotics Anonymous. The goodwill in this fellowship is the camaraderie of the people and the atmosphere that we hold and that we interact with each other. We have a culture. I'm putting up the parentheses, you know, I don't know, I'm recording, so I gotta put up parentheses, but there's a culture. There's a feeling that happens. There's a way of life. That fellowship that actually diverse and interact with each other, like that in an interconnected web. Like I can identify with you in New Zealand. I can identify with you in California. I can identify with you in Decatur, Alabama. You can identify with me if I'm in Maryland. You can identify with me if I'm in Illinois. Like there's an interconnected web, an unseen part that connects us together as a fellowship. And the reason they say is esoteric connotations, and if I'm wrong, predecessor, please help me out. It's because some of us just not going to quite get that. Some of us are going to miss the mark on that. Because listen, I'm going to get into God, self, society, and service, right? But I want to keep it real simple because my disease want to make it flip and flap and, you know, all these, you know, flipping here and flipping. And we ain't got to do all that today, right? So check this out. In goodwill, in the fourth step, I literally had the page and, oh, there it is. Yes. We all have assets, many of them newly found in the program, such as being clean, open-mindedness, God awareness, honesty with others, acceptance, positive action, sharing, willingness, courage, faith, caring, gratitude, kindness, and generosity. Did you know that generosity is an asset? Do you know when you give a hug, like in and again, I'm gonna try to slow walk this. When you give a hug, do you know that's an asset? That's generosity. Did you know that you are passing the NA culture and the NA spirit onto the other person? You letting them know that they belong. You letting them know that they're home. You're giving them the human touch. I don't know about you, but I haven't always been nurtured. My mom just gave me what I wanted, but there was no interconnecting, there was no nurturing, there was no lap time, there was no breast time, there was no, breastfeeding, well, none of that. There was none of that. My father is a high-level officer in the Navy. He's retired now, and so he was always gone. He was always out, you know, but, you know, they took care of me. The Navy took care of me. He took care of me on top of the Navy taking care of me. But there was still no nurturing. There was no interconnectivity. There was not an unseen web. If my dad was in Hawaii or my dad was stationed in Panama City, like there was no interconnectivity, right? So because we on assets right now, right? In the Living Clean Journey Continues, right? We talk about dropping that paper. I'm about to throw it in a minute. That's what I'm about to do. I'm about to just throw it and just say, you know, I'm not dealing with this. Okay, here it is. Thank you. I'm over it. I'm personally over it. All right, and the journey continues. It talk about love, and under love it says, the spirit of love that we express in NA is the most powerful thing we have. Right? We on esoteric connotations. We on assets. Right? It say the spirit of love that we express in NA is the most powerful thing we have. The basic test describes it as the flow of life energy from one person to another. I ain't making this up. I ain't preaching. That's what our literature say. It say the hugs we give are an instrumental part of our method and our experience. NA is all about love. I'm going to repeat that. The hugs we give are an instrumental part of our method and our experience. That's the corporate culture of Narcotics Anonymous. That's the camaraderie and that unseen intertwined web that we have when we touch each other and hug each other and smile at each other. Because that's that nurturing that I've missed. Right? Everybody's story ain't concretes and walking the streets. Some of us have families. Some of us have careers. Some of us already came in with our degrees and licenses. But there was something in our mind, in the back of our mind, that clicked and we were just drifting. And we needed any and anything to take us out of our present state. Right? Because technically, if you want to get scientific, when you put poison in your body, the high that you think you have, it ain't nothing but a reaction of your body trying to get it out of there. If you want to go scientific. But we still talking about esoteric connotations. I need to be somewhere else, someplace else, doing something else, dealing with somebody else, anything outside of my present state. Like, I just can't deal with reality. I got kids I don't want. I got a spouse I don't want to be. I'm a daughter to some parents I don't like. I'm a friend to some friends I don't want to be around. I'm at a job I don't like. I got a career I don't like. Anything to take me out of my present state. Right? Going back to the symbol, it's a delicate book. This book is 30 years old. No comment. Delicate book, gotta be delicate. That's a beautiful thing. I still got my book when I first got clean. Yeah, I do. And thank God, July 9, 2012. I am 10 years clean, and I am really, truly grateful for being up here, okay? So, and I got my first book. I still got it. Because I need to be reminded of the struggle. You know, the literature say we came in here with strange mannerisms, right? We was normalized in our addiction and our actions and our behaviors. Right? And so because we were normalizing our addictions and our actions and our behaviors, you couldn't tell me what I did was abnormal. You couldn't tell me the high heels, short skirts, and the boob out shirts wasn't normal. You couldn't tell me it's okay to come to a convention and be in tennis shoes all weekend. You couldn't tell me that I didn't have to have the longest nails, the longest weaves for us that wear them, and eyelashes across the street to feel beautiful. It was abnormal. It was abnormal to be passed around like the seven tradition bags said, but in my mind, you just jealous of me. Cause he want me and he don't want you. But see, I thought I was a slickster and a manipulator. So I tease him with the cookie snatch it back. Tease them with the cookie, snatch it back. Don't even want him, but when I see his wife, I'm twisting harder. Because it was normal to me. Those behaviors was normal to me. I didn't realize who I was, and I didn't know that I was a part of a bigger norm. I didn't know that I was a part of this great platform of a fellowship. Some of us that are blessed to have experienced the world of Narcotics Anonymous. My first world was in 2014, up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, right? I got water, y'all, so y'all gotta bear with me. It was up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I had some old times. I was still new, and they kidnapped me, and they said, hey, we going to Philadelphia, and see, I'm the girl that never could get off the block. So I didn't even know where Philadelphia was. But see, remember I had some strange mannerisms and some, you know, unseen parts of me that had a drive to get better. I just know I didn't want to go back. And so I trusted, right? Didn't we just talk about trust as an asset? I trusted these women to kidnap me, and it was three of them, and all of them in there had over 20 years clean, and those same women got over 30 years clean today, right? And so I'm going up these states, and I'm nervous, and my heart is beating because I don't know where they're taking me. You know, when you out there in the streets, you paranoid about everybody. So I get to Philadelphia, PA, and I seen all these addicts from all over the world. I still got a shirt that a guy from Russia gave me. They didn't know the language. And a lot of us didn't know what each other spoke. But one thing they knew was that serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I saw over 5,000 addicts in Philadelphia in this big circle holding each other and listening in this big, huge auditorium. And I didn't even, that serenity prayer, I knew it was being spoken in over 100 different languages. But listen, there was a feeling that came over me. It sounded like a murmur. It sounded like everybody was saying it at once. And everybody was speaking the same language. I couldn't tell you if it was English. I couldn't tell you if it was Mandarin. I couldn't tell you if it was Chinese. I couldn't tell you. I just know that it was a language that happened in that circle, and it was like a voice, like it was one voice, and it threw chills in my spine. And up until that point, I won't give nobody a hug. Why you touching me? Don't touch me. Don't grope me. You know, in my mind, you groping me. In my mind, you gay, because you touching me. But we talk about that interconnection, that intertwining. We talk about that web that happens, that corporate culture that happens. Well, not corporate culture, but that Narcotics Anonymous culture that happens when we touch each other and we give each other that nurturing that we miss. That's your esoteric connotation. Those are your unseen parts. That's the language without words. That's the feeling and the voice without song. All right. Goodwill is best exemplified. I told you I ain't preaching this right here. I just want y'all to know that. Girl, she was preaching, girl. I don't do no preaching. She need to go to church with all that. That's the problem now. My daddy was a minister. Say goodwill is best exemplified in service, proper service, doing the right thing for the right reason. When goodwill supports and motivates both the individual and the fellowship, their partners, we are fully whole and wholly free. Doing the right thing for the right reason. Hey, I know I ain't by myself. I've been doing service work for 8 years, and they don't care, and they don't appreciate me, and I ain't doing service work no more. I've been with my spouse for 30 years or 20 years, and I done did this and catered to him and overlooked stuff and held back for him, and he don't care nothing about me, so I'm finna get a divorce. I done worked 4 jobs for my wife. She ain't even have to work. We ain't even got no kids together. And she ain't have to work, and all she got to do is go to the mall and get her nails done, and she can't even have a hot cooked meal ready for me when I get home. That part. Y'all saying, how does that got to do with Narcotics Anonymous? Because we do the right thing for the right reason. We don't do things for the reward of others. We do things for the reward of our higher power. And if they don't appreciate it, at least your side of the street clean, and your higher power has already made provisions for you. Now let me talk to the gutter addicts for a minute. Do y'all mind? Let me talk to the gutter addicts. We done got the old timers and the bourgeois addicts out of the way. Let's get to the gutter addicts. Let's get to the gutter. Right? Ain't always been clean. Like I'm talking about, if you were passed around, like the 7 tradition basket. How about this? If you volunteered to be passed around, like the 7 tradition basket. Y'all make sure I keep up with my time. Give me a 30 minute and a 45 minute mark. A 30 minute check and a 45 minute check. Okay. If you were passed around or you volunteered to be passed around like the 7 tradition basket, check this out. Sometimes you got to get through some frogs before you get to a prince. High chair. Okay. All you had to do is hold your hand. You got to be on tape. You got to be on tape. God, please. In a ward, they got to be on tape. You got to, you know everybody gonna know your voice. No, I'm joking. We have fun. We don't wear our recovery tight around here, right? But sometimes you gotta get through some frogs to get to a prince, right? And how can a cherry come through when it's being blocked by a wooden wagon? Sometimes you got to move that wooden wagon out the way. See, we are not our disease. We are our recovery. We are not what we have done. It's who we've done today. What we've done today. Right? And even clean, we still have some strange mannerisms. Even clean, I still have done some things that I was ashamed of, that I didn't want to be reminded of, that was reminded of me when I went to Christmas dinner and all that. And they, hell, cool, you remember when you did this? And it got to the point where I was sliding in my seat, where I dreaded to go to Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner, because they will remind me of the things that I have done. But see, listen, I had blackouts. That's why my 8th step was so difficult for me. Because listen, I didn't know names. I just know that person with them brown shoes, that lady that had on that yellow dress, that child that all they want to do is go around the merry-go-round, and I pushed them a little harder so they could get. I'm just saying, I know y'all some angels. Hey ma'am, can you swing me and push the ass up now? Right, hold on, where your mama at anyway? I ain't gonna be doing all this swinging now. Where she at? And that's all I knew. I didn't know, I didn't know how to interact. I didn't know how to play. I didn't know how to tell you I love you without having something in return. Like, it was always an exchange, and my exchange wasn't always my body, right? My exchange was, listen, if I did something for you, you need to do something for me. You was only in my circle if you could benefit me some type of way. But see, we just talked about assets is generosity. Generosity is an asset. So it's okay today that I can give you a hug and not expect you to hug me. But listen, it's okay. Listen, true story. I got a couple of them, but this is the one that blows my mind. True story. And this actually recently happened. I came in with a girl, and when I came in, Narcotics Anonymous with a girl, we came in at the same time. And she was dating this guy at the time. We ain't gonna go there, because, you know, I'm gonna get to the guy. We on gutter addicts right now. You know, everybody else out the way, we on gutter addicts, because I'm a gutter addict. You know, I just did stuff to be doing it. I ain't even have to do it. That's just how crazy I was. But this girl, we came in together. We got clean together. And she was dating this guy, you know, when she first got clean, newcomer dating first year. You know how they go. And she just so happened to gain weight. This is the biggest I've ever been in my life. But anyway, she just so happened to gain weight. You know what I mean? And I just asked her. I asked her boyfriend first. I was like, oh, she pregnant? And he was like, no, ask her. Right? So I asked her, are you pregnant? And she, from that point on, that was 10 years ago, I would hug her. She would freeze up. I would speak. She would look at me. I would rub her back. She wouldn't respond. But listen, I would ask her sponsor, how's she doing? Oh, she in school now. How's she doing? Oh, she graduated now. How's she doing? Oh, she went and got her master's. How's she doing? Oh, she on scholarship. How's she doing? She just got her license. Oh, how's she doing? She opened up her practice. I always checked on her. Didn't know why she wouldn't hug me. Wouldn't know why she'll look at me. Didn't know why she would wouldn't have a conversation with me back. But I didn't take it personal, because I understand about goodwill. I understand about doing the right thing for them. I understand about, listen, I don't have to get you to reciprocate what I'm doing for you. That's not my job. Right? I gotta, if I want something different, newcomer, I gotta do something different. I know y'all know about the symbol anyway, so we just gonna break the symbol down. Y'all done already read the first page, so let's just keep it moving, okay? But it was so funny. It was like, you know, I would literally just check on her and find out about things. And when she moved to Minnesota, and, you know, I remember I never got off the block. So I'm like, this black girl moved to Minnesota. Minnesota. It's black people in Minnesota. We can laugh. You know, you can laugh. You know, I mean, because I'm just open like that. But, you know, that's what I said. And her sponsor said, I guess so. She there. And I would just check on her. How she doing in Minnesota? She said, she got to get a bigger coat, because I'm from Georgia. She got to get a bigger coat. I was like, oh, okay. Well, this kind of coat, you know, that the people out there, because I went to a Colorado convention, and they had them big, you know, coats that you can't feel, you know, the air. So I'm trying to describe it to her, to recommend, to give it to her. But see, that's how much I admired her. I started school because of her. Because she, if she could do it, I could do it. See, I couldn't identify with the 20-year clean addict. I couldn't identify with the 10, 15-year clean addict. I couldn't identify with somebody already had their degree and their master's. See, I was a ninth grade dropout. I don't even think I went through the first half of the semester in ninth grade. And so I couldn't identify, but I was so happy that somebody came in like me, same age. You know, she was, you know, different shape and color and all that. But it was like, listen, I could identify with her, and she was doing something with her life when I was afraid to do something with mine. And so I was a cheerleader on the sideline, rooting her on. And when they said that she got her license, I was driving home from work, and I was talking to her sponsor, because her and I, our sponsor and I was close. And I was talking to her sponsor, and I got off the phone, and I said, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to apply. Of course, they denied me, because all that money went up my nose. So I had to pay out of pocket. I had to pay through school out of pocket, and I said, how am I going to do that? I got full bills, full rent, full this, full that, and now I got to pay for school too. But it was a God of my understanding, because see, the whole time I was rooting her on, the God of my understanding was rooting me on, and he found a way and made a way, and now I'm about to graduate. Because, see, I did the right thing for the right reason. I did. Am I on topic? Am I on topic? Okay, I just want to make sure I'm on topic. But I had to do the right thing for the right reason because I did not allow her attitude or her behavior to affect me. You know, there was other provisions that was made for me by my higher power who went ahead of me. See, that's why I don't have to worry about if somebody's going to reciprocate or you're going to reciprocate what I do for you, because, see, it's already made provisions. And as a result, listen, I didn't have to miss one semester of school. Sometimes it was a little suspect. That money got a little funny. I'm talking about I was shaking giving that credit card. I was shaking. But I had faith and hope. That's what we talk about in the second step. I had that hope. That's the principle of the second step. So recently I was in Birmingham, Alabama. Drove 5 hours. I told you I live 2 hours. I don't know if I told you. I live 2 hours. I live in Fort Valley, Georgia now. Take care of my parents. Anyways, 2 hours from the airport in Atlanta. I moved down there about 6 months ago. Birmingham had a convention, and I drove 5 hours by myself to that convention. And I went around every backwood, every corner. I didn't even know some of these cities existed, okay? I ain't seen down the expressway until I got 5 minutes from a convention. I said, ain't this a bitch? But I get there, and, you know, I had a friend of mine who was doing a men's rap, and I usually don't go to the men's rap, but he asked me to come and hear him share. And so I came, and I sat on the front row to try to blend in so you don't see that I'm in there. Right on the front row, like, who, you know. Really, I seen all that eye candy, and I ain't want to be distracted. That's what it was. Let's get honest. I told you I'm on the gutter level. We on the gutter level with it. I seen all that eye candy. I was like, no, I need to sit on front row. I don't need to look at none of this, you know. I thought I was too cute for school that day, too. Couldn't tell me nothing. No, and I had to go to the front. I like how you shared. I need you for my home group on Zoom, you know. Don't even have a home group. Be like, I need you to share my home group. What's your home group? Boys to Men. So I'm walking into the women's rap. This was probably about a couple months ago, a month or so ago. I'm walking into the women's rap, and I'm in the men's rap, and I hear somebody go, hey, 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 a caller, hey, hey. And I was like, who is that? So I turned around, and it was her. It was her. And she said, I need to talk to you. So, of course, in my head, I'm like, oh, Lord, what? Come on now. Because remember, I told y'all how she been treating me for the last 10 years. So I'm like, I ain't even got your man. You know how we get, you know how us at is. We all up in our head. I ain't, honey, I don't even know who your man is today. Why is you, you know what I mean? That's the first thing that comes in my mind. You know, I ain't hate on you, I ain't talked about you, I ain't said nothing about you. You know, all this up in my head. But see, thank God for sponsorship. Because she said, listen, you ain't got to always react or respond, and you ain't got to always say what you feel or you think. How about you just sit there and be still and just don't say nothing and allow that person to speak, because it may be totally opposite of what you expected. And see, and that's what happened with recovery. It came in, it kicked in, and so she said, and then I really got nervous when she said she wanted to talk way on the other side in the corner in the cut. Now I'm thinking she finna fight me. I don't do violence, domestic violence, public displays of aggression. I be telling people I don't do PDA. They be like, oh, public displays of affair. I'm like, no, public displays of aggression. I don't do jail. I don't wear orange to this day. I'm traumatized. So we went over in the corner, and I walked over there. I figured there's a few witnesses around, and we walked over there. And she said, I want to apologize to you. She said, for the last 10 years, I've been holding a resentment against you. So I really said, I ain't messing with your man. You know, in my head, right? And she said, no, you asked me if I was pregnant, and I was just coming back, and I had been relapsing over and over again, and I was already self-conscious about who I was and what I was, and I started gaining weight, and my hips started spreading, and my stomach got a little bigger, and at the time, I was stuffing my feelings, and I did not know how to process anything that came to me. And so, have you noticed every time I hug, true story, have you noticed every time I hugged you, I would freeze up? Every time you would speak, I would just look at you. Have you noticed every time I had a conversation with you, I wouldn't have a conversation back? Have you noticed every time you came near me, I brushed you off and walked the other way? I say, yeah, I just thought you was on your cycle that day. And she said, nah, I just been holding resentment. But I thank you for loving me in spite of. I thank you for hugging me in spite of. I thank you for not taking my attitude to heart. I said, well, yo, I was about to say, well, your boyfriend, she said, I don't want to talk about him. I said, okay. And I said, do you know how much I love you? I'm back in school because of you. I'm about to graduate because of you. I talked to your moms. I said, you went to such and such college? She said, yeah. I said, you got accepted at such and such for your master's? She said, yeah. I said, you was on scholarship? She said, yeah. I said, you got your clinical therapist license now? She said, yeah. I said, you got your own practice. You moved back to Atlanta and got your own practice. She said, yeah, how do you know? I said, because I've been following you. I'm so proud of you. Because it was difficult looking at somebody my age. I came in at 35 and I already got a baby face. And so I'm 35 and I'm looking like I'm in my late 20s and I needed some identification. I needed that diversity to bring me in and to hold me here. And I had to find somebody. I had to find somebody to totally connect me. Right. And see, and that's what happened when we're doing the right thing for the right reason and we're doing proper service. And we don't worry about who don't like us. We just go to the ones that do. And we hug the newcomer in spite of, because see, they don't know how to process their feelings. They don't know how to, they don't know what it feels like to be touched, to be hugged. Listen, I done had women, listen, tell me come over and sleep right next to them in the bed again. I'm thinking they gay. I ain't got nothing against lesbians. I'm just saying. That's what my mind was, because see, I didn't know what affection. I never slept next to my mother. I never slept next to my father. I never slept next to my sisters. I wasn't even raised with my sisters. And so, listen, and so for a woman to say, hey, daughter, come lay next to me. Listen, I'm talking about this, my godmother, when I first got clean. Listen, she's still in my life today. I just spent the night over there last week or something like that. Listen, she said, come sleep in the bed with me. Her wife, because she, got a same-sex marriage. Her wife slept on the couch. And I still think I'm too cute for school, so you know. But listen, her newly found wife slept on the couch. She said, she told me all about you. What is it that I can do for you? What is it that I can give you? We got to go to work in the morning, but here's the key. You understand? Like, she's my mother in recovery. See, listen, Narcotics Anonymous replaced what genetics couldn't feel. I got some brothers in this process. They never came at me any kind of way. I told y'all I'm totally self-centered. And so, listen, I got some brothers in this process that never came at me any kind of way. They just wanted me to be clean, and they wanted me to come back. They just preferred me to come back clean. I got some sisters in this process that never did anything wrong to me. If anything, listen, they wanted to give me and pour into me. That's how generosity, that's how I'm able to give you and pour into you, because I had people give me and pour into me. It say the four sides, I gotta wrap it up. It said the four pyramid sides that rise from the base in the three-dimensional figure that represents self-society, service, and God, all rise to the point of freedom. The broader the base. Okay? You got too much self, you self-centered. You got too much society, you people-pleasing. Too much society, yeah, you people-pleasing. You got too much service, you're self-righteous. You got too much God, you're religious. From what I understand, the literature tell us self, society, service, and God all. Did we not talk about it's a total program? There's nothing outside of it. Our fifth tradition say that, listen, we carry the message to the addict who still suffers, and it works how and why. I'm going back to the old times now. I left the gutter. Going back to the old times. And it works high and wide. Talk about that. It's our basic guideline. Who been reading? And nothing must take precedence over it. So when I'm doing proper service, when I'm doing goodwill, and I'm giving my service and time to the addict who still suffers, you can throw an attitude with me. You cannot return my text. Guess what? We gonna keep it moving. What is freedom? Listen, at the top of the symbol, it talk about freedom is at the pinnacle of the symbol. But listen, what is the word right up under freedom itself? So I need society. I need y'all. Did the literature not tell us? Because see, somewhere in the back of the forefathers, they say, of course, is going to forget who we are. So listen, we're going to say that there's a society of men and women whose drugs have become a major problem. And true enough, it's one of our symptoms, but drugs will always be a major problem. Because bills, sex, money, prestige will never change my clean day. But let me put some dope on it. And what the new amendment say, DOC. I didn't know what the hell they were, DOC. I don't do jail, man. They sound like Department of Corrections. She said, nah, your drug of choice, it don't matter. Anything that's mind mood altering. Anything that's gonna get you out of yourself where you cannot be in the present. I get it. I'm going to close with this, right? I moved to Fort Valley, Georgia. Give me 5 minutes, I'm going to close. I don't even think I need an hour, and if I got time, we'll do Q&A. I moved to Fort Valley to take care of my parents. And my stepmother and I have had a tumultuous relationship over the last 23 years over my dad. I'm talking about police, trespassing, defects, all kind of stuff that popped off with us. But right now, she need us. She need me. I'm my father's only child. And she needs me. And my dad needed me. And both of them are elderly with a lot of medical issues. And I just told y'all about the relationship, right? She tricked me out my kid. Well, I said she tricked me. I gave her my kids to help me, but for whatever reason, the courts deemed necessary for her to keep them. And I had a lot of resentment for a long time. But thank God for sponsorship. So I told my sponsor, I said, they need me, my lease is up, they need me, and I don't want to go down there. I'm trying to sleep on folks' couches, go to the shelter, whatever. I ain't trying to go down there. And my sponsor walked me to the gate, and I ended up going down there. To make long story short, and my children, even though I visited them often and watched them grow up, I wasn't there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months of the year, every year, for the last 11 to 12 years. And so they don't have that connection with me. Or they don't come to me when they have these feelings, and they don't talk to me when they process. And my daughter, she's on full ride scholarship, and she stays on campus. And I asked her, and you know, we were talking as long as I sent her money every week. And then when I was like, you know, hey, here I go, I'm your mother, you know. And, you know, I said, well, let me just start. And listen, I stopped sending her money just that, you know, put her on punishment, honey. She wasn't studying me, and didn't I have another conversation since? And then, of course, I was people-pleasing, trying to send her the money again. And she talked to me, and then when I stopped the money, or I didn't have the money, she didn't talk to me no more. And then her grandmother is in this competition with me about who can do what for her, right? And then my youngest son, you know, he don't always be able to come over and talk to me. It's about 4 acres, and there's 2 houses next to each other. They stay in one, and I stay in the other. And listen, I'm talking about, we only talking about a few yards across. And my son and my daughter don't even come and talk to me. I don't even be knowing my daughter here. It's like, you know, I don't even be knowing my son be getting off the school. But, like, listen, it's always an interception. But, see, I'm saying this to say I was there for proper service. I was there for goodwill. I was there because I was doing the right thing for the right reason. I've been there for 6 months. Can y'all believe it? I ain't cuss nobody out. Ain't no trespassing. Ain't no PDAs. Ain't no police came to my house. I know I'm a little Southern. Ain't no police came to my house. Ain't no police came to the property. She ain't have to do no restraining orders on me. I ain't have to do no restraining orders on her. The kids ain't got to see us bickering. Trust me, she done came at me with all her bullshit. But see, that's why it was the broader the base, the higher the point of freedom. Because see, I got a network that works. And I can call them sisters, and I can call New York, and I can call North Carolina, and I can call Alabama, and I can call Atlanta, and I can call Savannah, and I can call California, and they'll breathe a breath of life back into me. And so I'll come and talk to y'all so I don't talk to them. I'll take my frustration and release the pressure cooker to y'all so I don't release the pressure cooker to them. All due respect, you know, listen, I'm a hustler. I'm always having me somewhere to stay. I can care less about that. I care less about the property. I care less about all this shit. Because I always get my own money. The disease gonna kick back in and say, you know, I got a job for you. But listen, I already know that the God of my understanding has already made provisions, because if anything come down that pipe, check this out, he has already went before and made provisions, because the reciprocity don't come from my stepmother. The reciprocity come from the God of my understanding, because I had the goodwill and the camaraderie and the culture to still love in spite of, to still hug in spite of, to still love my children in spite of. Even though I don't get it back, on most days I'm in total isolation. On most days, days go by, weeks go by without a phone call. Or if I go over there, you know, the conversations are short. Or I try to talk to my son, it's one word, sentences. Or sometimes my daughter come and visit and don't even come over to my house and knock on the door. And I'm like that on most days. But I thank God for the unseen parts. I thank God for the spider webs. I thank God for the parts that intertwine, that's interconnected. I thank God for, you know, the people that are in my life and continuing to build my life. Even if you for a reason, a season, a moment, thank you. Because now what I can't use right now, I can put it on the shelf. And trust me, I've been pulling all them cans down. I've been pulling all them cans down to the point I broke down. I had a nervous breakdown right before Decatur, Alabama, on Wednesday. I told my sponsor, I can't do this no more. That's how furious I have been. And I am holding my peace. And I just told my sponsor, I can't do this. I'm over it. And she said to me, I will support you on whatever you're doing. I'm going to support you on whatever you're doing. But just know you did the right thing for the right reason. My name is Akula, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.